The parties claim to me that that's the bill clearly, well, I wouldn't say clearly. That's the question. They seem to think it clearly expresses that intention, and I'm satisfied if all of them say that's what they've agreed to. Now, counsel, based on what they just said there, maximum limit of $100,000 on general damages, maximum limit of $100,000 on special damages. Is that the way the bill reads now?
The bill as it reads now doesn't make, I don't think makes sense. I think that's the intent. It needs to be just reworded so it says what they want, what they mean for it to say. You know, perhaps it makes sense to everyone else but me if that's the case.
I concur with the counsel's criticism. If we want a limit of $100,000 on general and a limit of $100,000 on special, and together they could total it out in excess of $200,000. I should say that in a straightforward way.
Perhaps it could say, starting on line 10, unless those damages exceed $100,000, in which case the claimant may recover additional damages, but in no event shall the award of either special or general damages exceed $100,000, or something like that. Anyway, as written, I don't think it says what it's supposed to be.
Well, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
This reminds me of the German person who was brought up with German in the home, who said throw the cow over the horse, over the fence, some hay. But I'm, without having discussed this language with anybody, this discussion had this afternoon, what I hear, if not the intent, the result of Mr. Gaylord just said, is that if we pass this the way it is, we will, at this late stage of the session, avoid the need for concurrence. And I think with all this discussion on the tape, this language, unless those damages exceed $100,000, in which case the claimant may recover additional special damages, that would mean if special and general together came to over $100,000, they could get the full amount of the special damages as long as they weren't getting more than $100,000 in specials.
Well, I think it probably could be worded better, but I'm satisfied that it limits your damages to $100,000 general and $100,000 special. I don't know if it says it all that brilliantly, but
no, because it doesn't say in the event that the special damages range above up to $100,000. The general damages added to it shall not, in total, exceed $200,000 of special and general. That's the way that's the meaning of it, as I understand. So, if the combination special and general exceeded $100,000, you get the full amount of the specials up to $100,000, and you could still get the generals up to a total of another $100,000 for a maximum of $200,000. Combination of special and general.
Senator Hendrickson?
Well, is it a desire of the chair then not to make the amendments, to make it explicit, because it might not, it's too late, or are we going to rely on the legislative history? Or?
Well, I'm inclined, I mean, I'm kind of deferring to the committee members, because I'm satisfied, based upon what the participants of the in the compromise that worked up the bill have said that that's what they want and that's what they think the bill intends, but if a committee member isn't satisfied that it does that, then we better change it. Personally, I think it's clear that your damages are limited to $100,000 general and $100,000 special, and that's all there is to it. It plainly is limited to that, but we could have said it just a little more straightforwardly. Now, Grant and Cairns, is that your understanding?
Mr. Chairman, Grant and Cairns, representing the City of Eugene, yes, that's correct. The interpretation which you and Senator Wires have put on the bill is the only one that you can rationally come to. It says that you have two compartments, one in general and one in special. They have a maximum limit of $100,000 each.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm satisfied that the record will certainly show that that was the intent, that there is any misinterpretation.
All right, now, I think Senator Brown, we all kind of agree that the wording isn't the best, but
I'll move the bill.
You could improve it a lot, but it wouldn't make it perfect. You could improve it a lot by adding at the end of the sentence on line 11, and a total, and in no event shall the total award for general damages exceed $100,000. But then
it is Tuesday.
I don't know how much feeling there is about sending this back across the House floor.
Well, I'm.
No.
Okay. Well, Senator Brown moves House Bill 2285 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brown?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Henderson?
Aye.
Wired?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. Okay. Mike, I keep getting the staff feedback on here.
First CLE that's put out.
Really?
It's going to take time.
All right, let's go to, we're not going to get done with this agenda, needless to say, and so have we got, you're the yellow. We'll take, let's just take 2484.
Did you send out that the Energy Defense Board earlier?
This is the first minute that I've had five members of the committee present, so we haven't sent out anything else. Okay, let's take 2331, since Pete Sandrock is waiting around. He can't hardly wait to get out and spend that new increase in salary that Senator Wire's subcommittee gave me.
House Bill 2331 is the word-for-word equivalent of Senate Bill 257 that we passed out last week. If the committee remembers, Mr. Sandrock was concerned because of the time frame and proposed that, basically took both approaches in the hopes that one of them would make it through the system.
Yeah, Senate Bill number
2331.
Yeah,
that's the House Bill number. The former Senate Bill number.
The former Senate bill number was
237.
Have we done that already? Or no? Is our House is it ready to go?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2331 to the floor with a due pass.
All right.
2331 A engrossed.
Okay.
Have we already done as amended by the House?
Well, that's apparently our House amendment.
Yeah.
All right.
Could I ask too?
All right, Senator Henriksen moves House Bill 2331, as engrossed in the House, to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Anybody got any problems with that? Call roll, please.
Brown?
Aye.
Abby?
Aye.
Henderson? Aye.
Wired?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. Where is it up? Coming up in the floor?
I reported it out already. Probably be up even tomorrow.
I'll move it back to the floor. We're going to move the Senate bill back to the committee and table it. Okay.
Do you want me to move that?
I think I can just bring it up under propositions and motions.
Oh, it's already on the floor.
Yeah, it's already on the floor. You have sent it to the desk, guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, you've gotten everything you want this entire session, Pete. Go home.
Not quite.
Now 2484. Now, committee members, I've heard what day is today? Tuesday, Friday, yesterday, and today. There have been a number of bills heard. In many instances, I heard the bills myself, and in many other instances, there were two or three here. So if these bills look unfamiliar, it might be because you were at another committee meeting, and I'm hoping we Was anyone not here when we had testimony on this bill, 2484, the man in the wheelchair that came, what this bill does when a crime victim is getting assistance, and then upon the death of the victim, this bill would preclude the state of Oregon from going against the estate for the costs of public assistance. Oh. Isn't that right, counsel?
Yes.
Is there any amendments to it?
No.
I'd move House Bill 2484 to the floor if it do pass.
All right, Senator Henderson has moved House Bill 2484 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? All right, call the roll, please.
Brown?
Aye.
Bailey?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Henderson?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Frye?
Aye. That's carried. 2663.
House Bill 2663 is one that I believe we had testimony on last Friday from Stevie Remington. It amends three statutes. The first is the ACLU version of the transactional immunity statute, which we had testimony on in the form of another bill from Representative of the ODAA, I believe. The second statute is a statute which deletes the prohibition against mere possession of switchblades. That's in a court to bring it, the statute in compliance with case law. And the third is a amendment which deletes a mandate that no textbook used in public schools shall be used, which speaks slightingly of the founding fathers of the republic.
Mr. Chair, I just have to say, in the education committee, we just dealt with that, and there was an effort to repeal that whole statute, which we resisted because we repealed the part that was unconstitutional, but there's also some mandates on there that textbooks do not have racial discrimination or sex role discrimination. I mean, there's some good affirmative action kind of language, so we... I want to make sure that that whole... We've already dealt with that statute in another bill from the Education Committee, and we deleted the unconstitutional portion of that statute, which is speaking disparagingly of founding...
That's all that's being deleted here.
Okay, I just want to make sure that...
You should know, we're dealing with the engrossed or the amended version from the House, of which you have a hand-engrossed copy.
Oh, yeah.
Before we take any action, I need to make a further explanation of that second section.
I just got a note from the Sergeant-at-Arms now, and the President has told us from the rostrum that he wants to be prompt when these floor sessions start, so we're going to adjourn here about 1 minute to four. Go ahead, Counsel.
Well, you can't tell from the hand-engrossed. I don't have a second page. Let us go.
Is this just a one-page...
There should be a second
page. No,
there's not. The second page isn't in mind.
Did the House amendments change Section 3?
No.
Bill?
No.
But we can't see what they deleted. We can't see what the bill deletes in its entirety.
Well, you can by looking at
the
original bill.
On the original bill.
There's one additional word, the word work on line one that's deleted.
Okay,
Section 2. The House... There was an error made in this. The section deletes the prohibition against possessing switchblades to bring it into compliance with a case. The House committee misinterpreted this and interpreted the section as prohibiting switchblades. So they deleted the entire section. The end effect is that they leave the statute as it stands with the prohibition, with the unconstitutional prohibition intact. So, in order for the statute to be brought into constitutional compliance, that section needs to be added back in.
Well, I thought that that was taken out in Representative Phillips' bill.
No, the weapons bill, that's at least partly the reason for the House committee's error. The weapons bill deals with prohibitions against carrying concealed switchblades and that type of thing. The two bills don't deal with the same statute.
So you're saying you'd have to reinstate Section 2?
If you want to bring that statute into compliance with case law.
Why is it a no-no to constitutionally to have a device commonly known as a switchblade part of this definition and the other things that are listed not be, like a blackjack?
Well, it's the ACLU position that the other parts of the statute are unconstitutional as well. But I think the case specifically spoke to switchblades only.
So we're going to follow along just one step behind the courts rather than seeing where they're really going, which is the same. You can't make these things illegal just by definition.
Well, I've always kind of liked slung shots, sand clubs, and sap gloves. It probably goes back to the time that the state was founded.
Sandbag, too. You can't carry a sandbag.
Sandbag, yeah, you can't.
I tell you, you can get hurt as bad by an Arlington club as a sand club, sap club anytime.
It's got sandbag.
That's to prohibit marine.
Did that one have slugging weapons and those other things in there?
The
you're looking at obviously at a statute section, and I can't read from reading this bill because it's not in here anymore.
It's in the engrossed.
Oh, I see. Blackjack.
Section 2.
Yeah, they are. Dirk, dagger, stiletto. There you go.
Didn't we also have another bill dealing with transactional immunity?
Yes, we did, and that was the one sponsored by, I believe, the Department of Justice, and we refrained from taking any action on that in order to consider this one.
Okay, well,
because the other one included provisions about forfeiture.
Okay, we're going to have to recess. We're getting in trouble with the president, and we'll just have to play it by ear. I'm hoping that maybe at least five of us can come back off the floor to continue to work here, but right now we're going to have to leave. House Bill 2651 will be the next one up when we dispose of this one we're on. Okay, we're in recess at 3:59.
No one can make sandbags, even the floods.
That was an error to read all of that. Certainly.
Because the Supreme Court says you can't.
Yeah.
Oh,
they don't care yet.
Okay, let's go. When your wire is out there.
I was staying in the back.
Yeah, well, wire is supposed to be in walking the door. The Committee on Judiciary will come back to order at 5 p.m. now. Senators Wires, Hamby, Brown, Simmons, and Fry are present. We left off with House Bill 2663. Counsel pointed out to us on the hand-engrossed version that we will have to reinstate Section 2. And if we don't reinstate Section 2, then the switchblade knife part will...
The statute will be left as it is with the unconstitutional provision remaining.
Yes. So,
just for my explanation, Mr. Chairman, if we reinstate it as it has been lined out here, it seems to delete the switchblade aspect of it. Leave everything else in place. And I gather it was a switchblade aspect of it that needed to be deleted constitutionally.
Well, that was the case. The Supreme Court case involved a switchblade knife.
But so on that grounds, we take that aspect out of the law but leave the rest in. Now why was anyone proposing to delete the whole section?
Well, a mistake was made on the
House side. No rationale, no reason.
So we go back to the original.
Another screw up.
The original language in the original bill.
Right. As was.
Mr. Chairman, there is another bill coming over in the House that defines switchblade in a way that presumably meets that.
We have another bill in the committee that deals with the possession of a switchblade knife by
concealed,
an ex-convict.
However, isn't it? Concealed.
Concealed, yes.
So that, it's a different statute.
That was the weapons bill we considered last week and has been reported out, and that does affect different statutes.
Thank you for that clarification.
And
I'll move, if you think House Bill 2663 is in good shape, I would be glad to move it.
Well, there are some parts of it that are in better shape than others, but it's good enough, I think we can do that. Now, you want to move, Senator Brown, to amend the engrossed House Bill to reinstate Section 2 of the original bill.
And renumber Section 3.
And renumber Section 3 and also reinstate on line 2 the reference to 166.510.
Right.
All right. Any objection to that?
Those reversing the amendments.
Okay. There's no objection. It's so ordered. Then Senator Brown moves House Bill 2663 as amended in the Senate to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Short.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
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 Wire.
Aye.
Okay. Passes. No.
Well, since we put that back in, that may be revised at the time. In which case, we should have a motion to.
Okay. Council's called my attention to the fact that there may be.
Well, and we checked for conflicts on everything that we've done so far today, but if you add a new section, you don't know whether there are conflicts or not.
Council advises that if we add a new section here, we don't know yet whether there are conflicts, and so the motion should be with the understanding that council will check to see if there's a conflict, and if there is one or more, to take care of it in the engrossed version.
That was certainly my intention and my motion. I think everyone understood that.
Okay, thank you. Now,
on that bill,
yes.
And I hate to slow us up at all, but
sure.
I'd like to ask one question.
Go ahead.
The case said that switchblade knives were unconstitutional.
No, the case said that this section was unconstitutional because a switchblade knife was a weapon, and Oregon citizens were entitled to bear weapons.
The question I have is, if the court had had before it all of those weapons that are listed
yes.
in that section, hypothetically,
yeah.
would they have said the same thing about all of them? Well, or do you think they'd have gone through and made a case by, would have distinguished between some? I only say that from my understanding, not to suggest we change anything, but I'm just kind of curious when it gets up on the floor and all that.
Well, my guess is the court probably would. And I suppose that I'm
so
sure.
We're just excising the necrotic cells and not worrying about if they're part of a tumor.
That's right. I mean, that would be my suggestion, because my theory might not be correct, but on the other hand, maybe having these words in the statute might be some deterrence to packing around slung shots and sandbags, which I don't think are a very good idea. But
having read the case some time ago, the court did go into a historical discussion of knives specifically. So I think you're probably right. But
they didn't throw out a big signal. I wish you'd take them all.
Okay. Thank you.
Or still out.
Well, then let's turn to House Bill 2651.
2651 is the House bill concerning treatment of emotional disorders of juveniles in the absence of parental consent. We had a hearing on this Friday, which lasted all of 30 seconds, I think, so the bill could probably use some additional explaining.
Well,
I've seen this bill. I don't know if it was in a hearing or not. my impression it's in good shape. Unless anybody had an amendment that I heard about.
Go ahead and you want
to
go ahead and...
Well, I was going to defer to...
To who?
To one of the members of the audience if the committee saw fit for the idea of additional explanation.
All right. Will?
Grant and Karen's talked with me during the recess and said that his opinion is in great shape.
Well, that's true. And I mean, here's the thing. You know, I'm satisfied with it, but if we have to have two public hearings on these bills, I don't know how we're going to do on the agenda. If any committee member wants an explanation, then that's fine with me. But you know, I don't want to get bogged down with having to take testimony on these bills again. So,
well, if you'd accept a motion.
Yes.
I move this.
Wait a minute now. Hold the phone. Let me point out that Senator McCoy has asked me to bring up to the committee the possibility of amending this bill to insert the provisions of Senate Bill 522. Senate Bill, do we have Senate Bill 522 before us? Yes, we do.
Yeah, they're in the amendment
file.
It's in B and Gross Senate Bill 522. This, members will recall that this came out of the Human Resources Committee. When it came to the floor, there were serious questions raised about the right of these people to pack guns and that kind of thing when they were making arrests of these individuals. And so we sent it back to the Human Resources Committee, and it was reworked, came back out, passed the Senate floor, and apparently it's over in a House committee, and it's represented to me that Tom Hanlon does not have any objection to the bill, but he just can't get to it. Now, that's what I understand. So, Senator McCoy is telling me that he would like to have us consider folding 522 into 2651. And I don't know, Grant and Cairns is here, and I don't know whether the proponents of 2651 have any feeling about that or not. Have you heard about that before? Okay, somebody's shaking his head. Three people are shaking their heads.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. 2651 was introduced originally at the request of the Mental Health Directors Association. We have no objection. My name is Barry Cass from Benton County. I'm the Mental Health Director. We have no objection to the amendment as you described it.
All right. And Grattan Cairns?
Mr. Chairman, Grattan Cairns representing the MED Providers Association have no objection to adding 522 to 2651.
All right.
Dennis D. Conger from Lane County Mental Health, representing Lane County government, and we also support the inclusion of the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll so move.
Senator Hamby moves that House Bill 2651 be amended by adding the language contained in B. Engrossed Senate Bill 522.
Mr. Chair, this is the one that has the word custodian a couple times that doesn't really mean custodian.
Well, I recall you raising that on the floor. I don't know as I really agreed with your concern, but why don't you raise it again?
Well, simply that the person is not a custodian until he takes somebody else into custody. And here we have the custodian having to have reasonable cause before he does it. So it's the catch 22.
Well, we could take out custodian and reinstate the word he.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're all right.
Senator Hamby?
There is language, however, Mr. Chair, on line, the end of line 6 and the start of line 7, may take into custody any person. So once they have taken into custody, I think it's all right to call them a custodian.
But he has to make the decision before he's taken the other person into custody. So he is not a custodian when he makes the decision.
Well, have you got a suggestion, Senator Simmons?
We could go back to he.
Well, that would be my choice, but I think the legislature and certain other individuals have said we shouldn't do that anymore. I mean, and that's the reason for the problem that you've raised, is because we insist on doing away with the first pronouns, and it makes it awkward in some cases. This just happens to be another awkward situation. Senator Wires.
Well, I said when this came up before the hearing that I didn't feel good about taking the bill that the House committee, for whatever reason, isn't moving out. And it's because I don't claim to be an expert, really totally understand this, but I felt so uncomfortable about the bill in the camp on the floor the first time that I felt it probably would have never be totally fixed. And I felt the body was being positive and supportive by passing it the second time around. So I hate to do this with only five of us here, but I want to object to the amendment. I'd just like to get the House bill out myself.
Okay, well, let me
never
ask.
I feel strongly that I'm out of line. I'm subject to being.
Well, all right. Now, wait. Let me ask these three. I know Grattan is here on 2651 principally, and are the other two the other two witnesses now? Are you here for the purpose of encouraging the amendment by bringing in Senate Bill 522? Come on up again.
Yes, I was here principally to support the inclusion of the amendment, as well as to support the language of 2651.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown.
Just from my understanding, Senator Wires, your reluctance is because of your concerned about 522 on the